Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good to be here tonight.
And of course, Michael Kelly is also with us, producing the program behind the scenes. Hi, Michael.
Good evening, everybody.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, Paranexus.org, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone courses as well as diplomas and degrees. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief as usual. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And as always, to read the expanded version of these nine principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all of those joining us tonight for the live program, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you spending a little bit of your time with us tonight. Tonight, I want to talk about the concept of stability and what goes into it, how to be a stable person, and just throwing in my little contribution here to try to clarify what constitutes a stable person. So I'm sure that most of us have known or do know at least one stable person in our life. And if you just take a second and think about that person that you regard as stable, what exactly, you know, why do you think this person's stable? Well, let me go over a few attributes or points that are pretty consistent with stable people. The first thing that comes to mind is that stable people are even-tempered. They don't fly off the handle. They don't create drama. They think before they speak. They don't make snap decisions, and that's not the same thing as being a decisive person.
You well, can good. Be, sorry.
Well, you're in the clear now.
Okay.
You can be decisive without making a snap decision. You know, that's basically saying and acting before you think. Another thing that really identifies a stable person is that they are fair, reasonable, and consistent. Heavy emphasis on consistency. Consistency is stability. If you think about the stable person that you know, you're likely to think that they have a refined moral compass. They just have an innate sense of high ethics and high standards. And another key word that comes into mind for somebody who's stable is they're balanced. They're not off the deep end. They don't go off the deep end. They're not one way. They're just balanced people. Stable people also do what must be done on a day-to-day basis. They may not even like it much, but they do what needs to be done on a day-to-day basis. They do that. And then another thing that pretty much defines stable people is they're self-sufficient, they're self-dependent, they're self-reliant. So if you think about these different attributes, how do you fit in here to here as far as being stable? Now, if we were to get technical, there's probably various degrees of stability, but think of somebody very stable, and I'm sure you'll know, hey, they're consistent. They don't create drama. They are even-tempered. So where does it start? Where does the stability start? Well, it starts with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. And it also involves that, as I mentioned, that inherent, innate sense of moral ethics and high standards. You know, they have integrity. They do what's right. They do no harm, and they do the right thing. And every occasion. And in fact, they can run into hard times. They can run into adversity. But that does not waver. They don't waver. They don't start behaving like somebody else if they run into hard times. They know who they are. They know why they are who they are. And another thing that defines them is they're grounded in this strength. You know, like a pillar. They're grounded. They weigh things before they respond. They think before they speak. They, you know, in terms of things that might be out there, they take them in. They're not closed-minded. They're open-minded, but they weigh them, and they use critical thinking skills, and they remain grounded, balanced, consistent, even-tempered. Any thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, I'm just really glad that there's a distinction between being decisive and the other. No, I'm with you.
Snap decisions.
I mean, I think, though, that stable people can also be passionate. You know, I think that we can,
sure they can.
You know, which is not volatile, you
right.
know, necessarily. I think the key is to be able to return to yourself. That even in your passion and, you know, the energy that can be expressed, that there's an ability to immediately go back into the self and, as I say, get back in your body so that you don't lose it. Because
right.
this day and age, it's pretty easy to lose it, I tell you. So mm-hmm. it's that stability is being able to come back into, along with, of course, all the other points that you mentioned, but being able to get back into yourself and collect yourself and regain a sensibility pretty quick.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because, you know, these times, they can be fearful. In fact, somebody mentioned that in the chat room. You know, and I'm talking about with the election process in the U.S., and, you know, and I have to mention something. And then we talked about this a week or two ago about not letting fear rule your life, not buying into the fear mongers, and they're there. Even in the election process, there's lots of fear mongering going on, creating these bleak pictures. And one of them, you know, basically created this bleak scenario and said he was the only one that could fix it. Well, that's, you know, That's dictatorship, and that's a cult leader. That's what they do. I'm going to talk more about the cult aspect of it in a second, but, you know, don't buy into the fear mongering that's going on in the election process. You know, this is, yeah, different candidates, different times, but, you know, it's the same thing, different four-year cycle. We get a lot of this stuff. We just have to be careful not to really go too far and buy into the fear-mongering. I just don't know how else to say it. And when you're looking at the candidates, you know, think about the stability. Think about the attributes I just talked about. And understand that, you know, it takes stable people to have a peaceful world. And that's why we need to be stable. We need to be stable. If we blow up at every little thing, we're not stable. If we're trying to control other people around us, our spouse, partner, family, whatever, in an unreasonable way, we're not stable. You know, if we're emotional and we react emotionally to something we don't like or whatever it is, we're not being stable. We're getting into drama. You know, and there's such a thing as the crisis mentality. There's a lot of people walking around who are not happy unless they're in the middle of a crisis. And if they don't have a crisis, they subconsciously create a crisis so that they can be happy. That's when they're happy. Well, that's not stability either. You know, stable is even-tempered, balanced, grounded, you know, and you weigh things. You take things in. Just because somebody asks you a question does not mean that you have to answer them immediately or at all if you choose not to. So those are some things to really keep in mind and make sure that, you know, as you walk your path day to day, walk it in a stable way. We need grounded people. We need people with their head on, a good head on their shoulders and their feet on the ground, and being part of the solution, not part of the problem. And if you look in the world, you'll find all kinds of unstable people. We know that. We see that in the news. People who kill other people. Some of these mass shootings, which are happening all over the world, and have. I mean, things like this have been going on. The crime rate in the U.S. is down over the last couple, three decades. Those are the statistical facts. So things are getting better. But if we're tied to the news all the time, we could come away with a very different picture than one that exists, that's real. So we've got to use some critical thinking and make sure that we don't go too far and buy into the fear-mongering.
If I can add, too, I think that stable people know which things to react to. Every day there is some kind of insanity in the news. I mean, it is so ludicrous. It's so over there. You just have to laugh at it and say that's an intentional tactic to fire people up. And I'm not getting fired up about that stuff. I got to pick which things are really out there and over the edge and, you know, like something that needs to be discussed, I think, maybe. But if it's just know that a lot of these tactics are intentional. So, you know, pick and choose and weed through the stuff and sometimes take a break. I call it, you know, you got to have those sanity moments where you just have to step away from it all. And that's how we, you know, I mean, that old cliche of smell the roses, you really do need to do that. And I think that's also part of, you know, lending to stability is to keep a sound and healthy picture in our lives that we still get through our daily life. So, you know, take a walk in the yard, go down the street, you know, do something that is more grounded into your daily life that's pleasurable. You know, smell the coffee, smell the roses, whatever you want to say to yourself. But, oh, I think I need to take a break and just go smell the roses.
Yeah. And when you think of, that's all part of it. When you think of stable people, you know, somebody you can rely on, somebody you can depend on through thick and thin. You know that no matter what you take to them, whatever you talk to them about, they're not going to fly off the handle. They're not going to overreact. That's what stability is, you know. And stability is also not being thin-skinned. And that takes some practice, folks. I mean, when we're starting out and we receive some criticism or whatever, sometimes it can really throw us for a loop. Because, you know, we try to do what we do. We don't have any ill intent, but people don't see it that way, and we can be in line for a lot of criticism. I mean, I found that out firsthand years ago when I started Empowered Recovery back in 2001. You know, boy, I was just trying to help people, and boy, did I get picked on. I got lashed out. I mean, it really ruined my day. I remember that. I couldn't believe people could be so mean. And what had I done to them? I was just trying to help people. Where were they getting this? And I realized, you know, later on that it was a bunch of very dysfunctional people who were doing this. But it was a good lesson for me. And now here I am today, and I honestly don't care what they think. I'm too busy doing good work. I'm too busy trying to build up and help and be part of the solution to worry about what others may or may not think of me, what they may think of my motives or whatnot. And that's a good example for everybody. You know, especially if you're a student at one of our schools and you're planning on going out in the world, you're writing a book or starting a practice of some sort, you know, you might be subjected to some criticism, somebody not liking, not think you're doing what you should be doing, or they question your motives and all this stuff. Don't let it get to you too much. You know, let it bounce off. Don't catch that ball. Let the ball bounce off, because the people who criticize like that, they're the ones who are in trouble. They're fearful. They're the ones who have the issues, not you. Just make sure you're always doing the right thing, doing no harm, and you'll be fine. But don't take that stuff too seriously, because life's way too short for that. And that kind of, I'll make a segue now into the whole, I mentioned the cult thing and so forth. You know, there's a lot of good going on in the world. There's a lot of good people in the world. They're not all mass killers. They're not all Islamic or Christian extremists. They're not all killers and sociopaths. I mean, they're out there, but they're, most of the world, they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. They don't have ill intent. They're just trying to get along. Yes, it's true. There are people who are discourteous and unthoughtful and unkind, but it's not like they stay awake at night trying to figure out how they can be more unkind or more unthoughtful. That's just their level of awareness. We've talked about this before. So we give people the benefit of the doubt to the extent that we can, and until there's a good reason not to. So I'm kind of switching gears just a little bit. You know, there's a lot of fear in the world that's mostly irrational, but there's a lot of good too. And that's what we've been trying to do with this church, with this weekly program, with our school, with our curriculum. We're trying to provide an excellent education with an undercurrent of stability, helping our students to embrace life, to learn great new life skills that will help them to be more, even more successful in their day-to-day life and their relationships. And all of that contributes to stability, to understand who they are and why they are who they are. And so, you know, if you're a member of this church or not, just look at, you know, focus on what we've been trying to do, too. You know, our principles of belief. I mean, if you're on the broadcast page, if you're a live listener, they're listed there, the abbreviated ones. You know, the first one, do no harm, do right. What's wrong with that? I mean, I think these nine principles of belief are about the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. Well, you know, you can't find any fault. The second one, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek are already within us. How can you fault that? Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Well, that just means we're taking responsibility for who we are as a human race and fixing our own problems. How can we fault that? Four, we're all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. How can we fault that? The only people that can fault that one are racists and bigots. But any decent person, you can't find any fault with that. There's nothing dysfunctional about it. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. You know, we have a respect for life. How can you fault that? Unless you are an extremist who wants to kill somebody who doesn't believe the same as you. But then they're not stable people either, are they? Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. You know, if you weigh the evidence, which is what I've done, over a long period of time, you really can't come up with a much of a different conclusion. So what does that do? That gives us hope that this is merely a chapter in a long life that we have. So how can you fault that? That gives hope. People need hope. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will creates self-completeness. That's just logical. That's just rational. You know, you got to accept yourself. That's good. You got to show responsibility. You got to respect other people. And we need to stand on our own two feet. How can you fault that? How can you find anything wrong with that? Number eight, you know, metaphysical education. Remember, metaphysics is the study of consciousness and existence. So metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. They do. Education is what it's about. When people become educated, their level of awareness goes up. They become more aware in a positive way of not only themselves, but others around them. How can you falter that? Number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And that's what I've been kind of saying all along. The more you learn, the greater your awareness becomes, the more you evolve, and the more you realize that you don't need to fight with people. that you can be at peace. That's all stability. So what we have here, and I don't usually talk about this like I am right now, but I want to light a fire too. What we have here in these nine principles of belief and in the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, in the concept of metaphysical humanism, we have a gold mine. There's nothing cultish about this. You know, I think it's the best, the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. That's my opinion. You know, people can have a different opinion. I don't care. But this is healthy. And we have a gold mine. We have something to be proud of in this church. And you know, when I say church, a lot of people, I don't like churches. Well, I don't either. But you know, we live in a world where there are certain legalities, and to do certain things, you got to be legal. We have a church. It's not a Christian church. It's not an Islamic church. It's not any. It's metaphysical humanism. It's our own brand. It emphasizes and empowers the human being, the individual. It's a human-centered spiritual philosophy, not a God-centered spiritual philosophy. And that's what we've had centuries and millennia of God-centered spiritual philosophies that don't get us anywhere. In fact, the Pope said today or whenever that, you know, the world is a war, but it's not a war of religion. I don't know what planet he lives on. You know, all of the wars in history have been instigated and have been fueled by religion. That's just an absolute fact. So I don't know where he's coming up. But what we have here with metaphysical humanism is healthy, it's stable, it's balanced, it's grounded, it's down to earth. And so if you're a member, be proud of that. Be proud of that you're adhering to an ethical, moral, healthy spiritual philosophy. And if you're not, you should join us. You can register at metaphysicalhumanism.org. You know, and if you want to learn even more about metaphysical humanism, enroll in the degree programs that we have, or one of the courses, or several of the courses that we have, because that's where we teach most everything. Comments?
Well, I'd like to shift gears for a moment, and there's a comment in the chat. Someone has mentioned about having a friend who starts every conversation with, "You're not going to believe what happened," further to that, she's always in some kind of a snafu. As the conversation's been going, this individual says that she doesn't offer advice, she just listens and shields herself from the negativity. I would like to address this for a moment, because when I was decades ago, I remember having that same kind of mentality of I said to somebody once, "I can't believe this is happening." And this individual looked at me and said, "Maybe that's your problem." Whoa, that was a wake-up call. And it was with a shrug. "Well, maybe that's your problem, because you can't change anything you don't believe in. You know, you don't believe what you're seeing, you can't change it." So this is the first thing to get across. My second one is that when you listen to people who are like that without saying something, you're enabling. And I mean, no disrespect, that's why I'm not going to say a name here. And I don't care how long you've known her, how long anything, is you're not setting up your own boundaries. It's, you know, "I love you dearly, but geez, you know, can we talk about something else?" Or, you know, and this is the only way we grow. If somebody hadn't said that to me, "Maybe that's your problem," it really did rock me to my core, because I went, wow, and it changed the whole frequency of my life. So, and I don't care if you're 16, 66, 86, it's still that ability and that opportunity to continue to grow. There's another somebody in the chat who's had somebody like that in their life too, and as the conversation went, that the limiting the space, limiting the you know, the association, and especially if it's somebody in your family. But there's a way to assert boundaries without being mean or mean-spirited. And there is a way to show support by even saying something like, "Maybe that's the problem," to have an interaction in a conversation that doesn't, first of all, it's got to validate. I hear your problem, but maybe that is the problem. And that can move it upward, onward. So it's like moving the conversation up or elevating it to some degree. If somebody is constantly negative, like repeatedly negative, I want to ask you, why do you have them as a friend?
Yeah.
You may, and again, this is going to be a really hard thing to hear, because I've had to ask myself the same thing often, is when you love a friend that much and you tolerate really bad behavior repeatedly, then I'm going to say that, especially in my case, I'm in love with the idea of who my friend is or could be, or the potential of her or him, not the actuality of her or him. Especially if you've had a childhood connection, you've had a connection of a similar experience, you bonded emotionally, if two people have gone through some kind of tragedy together, that's a bond. But that doesn't mean that, you have to involve yourself in the whole of someone's life. So this is just putting a bit of a new slant on it, that this is how negativity propels itself so inadvertently in ways that we can't imagine. They're so subtle, and that we tolerate it. And we can't tolerate it, and the only way to not tolerate it is just not to just sit there and take it, but to very kindly, in ways that we are allowed, is to elevate that conversation. If it persists, then we have to say, you know what, this is not good for my vibe. And then we have to limit our associations with other people. So, and again, I don't want to criticize anybody. I don't want to, say that, there isn't a good value in that friendship, and that you haven't shared a wonderful time together, because we all do to some degree. But we're not helping each other if we just sit back and listen to stuff. So,
those are some great points. I want to bring this back again to stability. And we've all known people who just have one problem after another. Remember, folks, we are the sum total of the decisions and choices we've made in life. You want a better life, make better decisions. This applies to everybody, not just us, not just me, not just you, but everybody is under the same basic cosmic laws here. And that's where the stability and the healthiness of even our nine principles comes into place, because we're talking here about boundaries, we're talking about self-responsibility, but we're talking about respect for free will. Look, if somebody wants to go from crisis to crisis and have one problem after another in their lives, that is their choice. And it's their path, their choice. They can do that if they wish. We also have a choice to not share a life with them if that's the way they're going to be, because they're an energy vampire. They're negative, and negativity will kill. It's like eat you from the inside out. And so we have to protect ourselves and our boundaries from people who are just negative and who just take. They just take. They're the energy vampires. And the other thing about this, a lot of people think that, well, I've known them so long, or it's my sister, my brother, my relative. How can I just can't walk away? Who said that? Where did you read that? You can walk away from any relationship. It's if that relationship is not healthy, then you walk away. It's the two most important relationship questions. Number one, what do I bring to this relationship? And number two, what does the other person bring to this relationship? To detail a little bit, the first question is, what do I bring to this relationship? In other words, what do I add and what do I subtract? You make a pros and cons chart, a T-chart, and list them. Make sure you're adding more to the relationships than you take. Then you do it for the other person. And, what do they add to this relationship and what do they subtract? Anytime somebody takes more from a relationship than they're willing to give and they're not willing to change, the relationship is over, period. And I don't care who it's with. Period. And this is healthy. You think, well, I can't just, stop the relationship with my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my best friend for 50 years, whatever it is. Yes, you can, because you're not the one who's doing this to the relationship. They are. They have to accept responsibility for their part in this relationship. Now, of course, you can talk to him about him. You can share a concern. You don't tell them what they need to do or not do, but you can share a concern. And you do that tactfully. Dr. Hunter just talked about that. You can approach them with that. Can I share a concern? Sure. You know, it just seems as though every time we get together, there's, you know, we talk about what's going wrong in your life. Oh, tell me, what's going right in your life? And maybe you can kind of turn them around and maybe wake them up a little bit, like Dr. Hunter said she was back in the day. So bear that in mind. This is the kind of stable, healthy advice you get from this program, from this church, from our school curriculum. This is the reference point, folks. This is not, this, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing unhealthy about it. There's nothing dysfunctional about it. But there's a lot of dysfunction out there in the world, but there's also a lot of function in the world, too. So you've got to use your critical thinking skills, and you've got to protect you and protect your energy, honestly, because they can really suck it out of you.
Well, while you were just saying those last few words, I picked a card.
Oh, good.
And it's number 7.
And if anybody wants a card, put your name in the chat room. We'll do it.
Well, it's number 7, self-mastery.
Excellent.
I kid you not. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. You know, there's somebody we were talking, I was talking about earlier about the friend, made a comment of, you know, it's difficult when you leave somebody, you know, you've known them for 60 years, and that's grieving. And again, if you can't find those boundaries and you're grieving, but then and to me, self-mastery is knowing where my grief is that I, you know, when you feel like you're losing a friend or you've lost a friend, it's kind of like a death. It's just to keep it in perspective in the stable way that I am grieving the friend I used to have, at least the one I had created in my mind.
Exactly.
It's I miss the friend I used to believe I had. And those other realizations of I am somebody else's friend, but they're not really my friend. So we grieve that. But that grief is part of self-mastery. That grief is part of us coming back to our center, to own it, to embrace that, and, you know, this really bites for a few minutes, and then being able to rise above that and keep that perspective. So if it's all right, I'm going to go ahead and choose a card for Phyllis. She's first in line. Hi, Phyllis. I have a card for you. Oh, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy, number 12. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role that you and they play. Interesting. Sounds like a bit of a mystery afoot there, honestly, though. I like that. Should I just carry on here?
Unless Michael wants to jump
Michael,
in.
Go ahead.
I believe Tabitha
is next.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I've been going through the deck here, but I'm going to pick one at random for Tabitha. Let's see. And I picked number 26, Energy Signature. But anyway, number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
All right. It's funny how these cards all fall into place, you know.
They really do tie together. I have to say, one of my favorite things about picking cards is just being able to read out of the book description.
And it gets you thinking. That's what they're designed for.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have Fran who's next. You want to do that, son?
Absolutely. All right, Fran. Well, this goes right along with stability. Number 37, groundedness. Kind of got a theme going tonight.
Yeah, always.
Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Yes, groundedness, keeping your head on your shoulders and your feet on the ground and making sure that if you believe something that you have a reasonably defensible basis for that that belief, and that's groundedness. So, you know, we've had this theme going on through the program all really about stability and how to be a stable person, and that we need stable people, being even-tempered, having mastery over yourself, you know, and people will be able to pick that up through your energy signature, through that vibe. And this is hugely important. We talked about the advantage of metaphysical humanism in a healthy spiritual philosophy that's just healthy and beneficial and enlightening, and it raises awareness. So hopefully these points have been of value to those of you listening to this program. We continue to try to do this. If you have a thought or a concept or a topic that you would like to see discussed, we'd love to hear it. You can just shoot me an email, admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student, any of the email addresses will get to me. So we appreciate your time. I guess we have, is the music started?
It is just now, actually.
All right. Well, sorry, we're not going to be able to do any more cards tonight, but we don't have the time. But sorry, we missed you there. We'll catch you twice next week. Don't forget that now. All right, folks, we appreciate your time. Thank you for spending the time with us. Thanks to those listening to the archive as well. And thanks to Michael and Dr. Hunter and everyone else. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.